Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. And a reminder that if you can't be with us live each day, you can find this show as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast and also SoundCloud as well. Glad to have you with us. Not a lot of news or any happenings out there. It does seem like there continues in some sports to be a push for a return. The NHL yesterday announcing its plans to return. There are still some holes in the plan that need to be filled in as far as locations and other things. But I think we're getting closer to professional sports with no fans, obviously, in the stands, coming back at some point later this summer, which I think will be rejoicing for all of us. I don't think there's any question about that. And so we'll talk some about that today. We also, as always, each day we talk IU basketball year-round. We talk local sports here in Southern Indiana as well. Always something to catch up on each day when we go live at 11 o'clock. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And today, in our headlines, we're going to just kind of reset where things stand for Indiana in the 2021 recruiting class. Those are players, prospects, you could call them, that will be seniors when school resumes really later this summer, we hope, we think, possibly into the fall. Those guys will be senior basketball players this year. We'll kind of reset the interest both in-state and out-of-state for Indiana in that class. I think it's kind of a good time now that we're into the spring, headed to the summer, to take a look at what is ahead or could be ahead recruiting-wise for Indiana. Of course, we know the players. We know, we think, who Indiana is targeting. We have an idea who they've offered scholarships to, but there isn't going to be traditional recruiting, at least in June with the high school open period, or in July with the shoe circuit stuff and the NCAA academies like we've come to know here in recent years. So recruiting will look different nonetheless, but we'll take a look at least at some of the names that we think will factor in Indiana's 2021 class coming up here in the headlines. Also, there is some basketball coming back. We hope the NBA does soon. We hope, obviously, that maybe there can be some shoe circuit AAU basketball late in the summer, August, July, August, September maybe, so there can be live periods for players to get recruited. But the basketball tournament, TBT, love it. It's great stuff. It's been on ESPN. It's a $2 million winner-take-all challenge. They announced this morning plans to make that happen this year despite the pandemic, and we'll talk about that. It's kind of been a phenomenon that has taken over and become a staple if you're a real basketball person in the slower time when you don't have college basketball, and typically you don't have NBA basketball as well. So we'll cover that in the headlines as well. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic in segment two. We'll talk IU. There's lots to talk about. Roster schedule, Justin Smith's departure, recruiting, plenty of things to catch up on. Also, obviously, we always think out about the Big Ten. We always look at college basketball as a whole for next season, and Dustin is a great resource to do that with each Wednesday on the show. Then we'll close today in our final segment with Josh Cook. Josh is sports editor of the News End Tribune. He joins us Wednesdays presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt, to talk local sports, Obviously, we're still kind of reeling from the passing on Monday of Lee Kelly. We had a tribute for him yesterday. There'll be some additional tributes coming later in the week and some things we have planned to honor and memorialize Lee Kelly and his great career in sports and radio. And Josh and I will spend some time talking, I know, about Lee Kelly today. We'll talk about some other local sports happenings. Last week, the News and Tribune announced their all-area team. They've got their three finalists for basketball, boys basketball player of the year, essentially, that will be named just coming up here in a couple weeks at the News and Tribune Annual Sports Performance Awards. So we've got that to talk about and other topics with Josh when he joins us a little bit later in the program. That's the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Great deal right now at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Bone-in hams at 50% off. You go out, you pick your ham, whatever the price is, you can slash half off of it. It's a tremendous deal right now at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you on Twitter. Follow me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You also can like our show page on Facebook. Just type in the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Click like. You can get links to podcasts. You can get updates on who's coming on the show and much more. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet me. You can send us a message on Facebook. Send us a direct message, however you want to do it. We'll keep an eye out for them. We'd love to get your questions for guests that join us and love to get your comments. And yesterday there were so many about Lee Kelly as we did that opening segment, especially memories and remembering him, and we appreciate that and took time to read all of those yesterday as they came in. But we'd love to hear from you today as we talk some sports here in IU basketball a little bit later on the program today. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Kind of a reset. It's a good point in the offseason. School is now complete, the high school year. Basically, there's still graduations ahead, but it's a good time now to kind of reset things. And juniors in school now become recognized as seniors. And obviously, seniors in high school are now freshmen in college. And so that natural progression is taking place right now. Really kind of a good time to stop and take a look at exactly where Indiana basketball recruiting is. And in the 2021 class, you know, now that Lander has reclassified to 2020, the first commitment in that class is not an Indiana guy. It's an out-of-state guy. You got to go just across the state line to Cincinnati to Logan Duncombe, who committed back in early April to the Hoosiers, a center, a true center, a true post player, 6'9", 230 pounds, attends Cincinnati Molar High School, plays over here in Indiana with the Indiana Elite program. Obviously, a good get from the Hoosiers. It fills a big need that will be forthcoming in the post after the graduation of Joey Brunk. Of course, Deron Davis was lost with this class, and so obviously a need that Indiana has. Outside of Logan Duncombe, we all know and recognize that Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek is a huge target of Indiana. Clearly, Archie Miller and specifically Tom Ostrom have put lots of time in with Trey, including during the pandemic when there can be no basketball and there can be no visits to campuses or college coaches coming to visit the player at their high school or at their home. But still, the feeling is there, comments that Trey has made, and you just know, a lot like Romeo Langford, that now the attention in this 2021 class, it turns to Trey Kaufman for the Hoosiers. And to keep the momentum, there's lots of momentum there, lots of successes there in the state for Archie Miller, but a commitment from Trey Kaufman to add to the 2021 class and keep that streak going of top flight players from the state staying within the state is obviously a big deal. So Kaufman, I think we know, is right there at the top of the list. I'm not telling you anything new or anything we haven't already said with that. But Blake Wesley up in South Bend, a player that I'm intrigued by, a player I want to learn more about. There are sure some thoughts out there that Indiana has gotten more serious, and maybe that recruitment is more heated than what it possibly was before. Wesley's a guard. He's 6'4" out of South Bend Riley. He was set to play this offseason with the Indy Heat, which play on the Nike circuit, as opposed to Indiana Elite, which play on the Adidas circuit. So in the state, obviously Trey Kaufman. I think behind him is a priority, Blake Wesley up in South Bend. Again, you get two players, one Southern Indiana, one Northern Indiana that IU's tracking. Outside of that, I think you can basically count on IU primarily focusing on out-of-state players once they get past Kaufman and also Wesley. Obviously, some of the names that stand out, Aminu Mohammed, he's out of Greenwood Lab School in D.C. Indiana has been recruiting him now for a while. In fact, he was in Bloomington during this past season. He's considered one of the top guards in the country. Trey Patterson, also out east. He's at Rutgers Prep, which is located in New Jersey, and he's got a long list of schools. He did select a top 10 over the weekend, and there's some thought that Indiana's pretty solid in that top 10 right now for Trey Patterson. Jordan Longino, another out-of-state player. He's got connections to Pennsylvania, plays at Germantown Academy. Obviously, that's where the Miller family is from. Not necessarily Germantown, but that area, that state, and the Miller family, even Archie's dad, great connections with high school coaches and others in the state. Mason Miller, he's out of Germantown, Tennessee, another player that Indiana has been associated with. He's the son of former Florida standout and also NBA player Mike Miller. So his dad is an assistant coach at Memphis. Obviously, Memphis is recruiting Mason Miller. I would think that that is where he was go, but a good connection there for Indiana. They have recruited him hard. A lot of people think if he chooses to not go play for dad, that Indiana could be in a good position to land him. So those are some of the top names. There are other out-of-state names, but I think for 2021, with Logan Duncombe in the fold, you've got Trey Kaufman and Blake Wesley, who have risen to the top in the state as uncommitted players that IU is really focusing on. And then really it's a number of out-of-state players, which I think is interesting because Indiana's done so well within the border, within the state, since Archie Miller has gotten here. Really, Keon Brooks was that one player they recruited for an extended period of time. They recruited very hard that ultimately they did not land. Yeah, they recruited Caleb first. I'm not sure what the interest mutually was both ways there. Obviously, he ended up committing to rival Purdue. But to keep the momentum going, you land Kaufman, you land Wesley, then you go out of state. You've already got Duncombe. And if you could add Muhammad or Patterson or someone of that top level, that's quite a recruiting class for Indiana that highlights not only the state locally, but also the Big Ten footprint that Archie so much talks about when it comes to recruiting and what he thinks it takes to be successful at IU and year in and year out be successful in the Big Ten Conference as well. Next headline is another look at the way too early college basketball rankings that are out there. Indiana in Gary Parrish's latest update. Now, he does an update, I don't know if it's weekly now, but basically after there's a departure or after there's some news that affects a college program, shortly after Gary will come out with an update. And it's no surprise that Indiana fell in the latest Gary Parrish way too early rankings. They dropped just two spots. And really the only reason I'm mentioning this in our headlines today is because I was really curious and will be curious to see what other national college basketball media think about Indiana with the departure of Justin Smith, which was announced on Friday. Just last week, when Lander came on, there seemed to be a real push that Indiana was going up in rankings. Indiana was entering rankings that maybe it hadn't been in. And, of course, right after that, Smith announces that he's transferring, leaving the program as a graduate transfer. And I was curious how much of the hype around this team the national media and others think that Justin Smith brings or brought to the Indiana program next year. So obviously, Indiana, according to Gary Parrish, still in the top 25, still an exciting team in this offseason, despite the departure of Justin Smith and his announcement last week that he will transfer. It'll be interesting to see as the summer goes on, other departures to the NBA. Of course, that's a little different this year with the pandemic. A lot of unknown. The deadline has been pushed back. Those rankings will jump. Those rankings really are not worth anything at all other than it's fodder to talk about. But it is interesting to see what happens, what movements take place, and kind of how that can create some excitement in the media that's voting on some of these polls or ranking some of these polls and ultimately voting in the big polls, the Associated Press poll for the preseason next year. Basketball's going to return. I'm so excited. We've talked about this tournament each of the past summers that it's been around. In fact, we had John Muggar, the director, the CEO, the founder of the basketball tournament. It's called the TBT for short. It's a $2 million winner-take-all event. It has been awesome to follow teams of former college players. Indiana has had a lot of alumni play in this $2 million event before. It's even on ESPN. It's become nationally televised and really nationally followed because of the great players they've been able to get involved and how competitive the games have been. And, of course, last year they started the Elam Ending, which is basically what the All-Star Game in the NBA copied in that final quarter of the All-Star Game this past season. I was wondering what would happen with the TBT. It's kind of filled a void for basketball hoop heads in the offseason, and there was an announcement today, earlier this morning, that John Muggar, the owner, the CEO, they're going to move forward with it. They're going to have a 10-day winner-take-all, 24 teams, 10 days, one quarantine location. They've not announced the location just yet. They do not expect that fans will be able to attend, obviously. And yes, it will be televised as well, although those details I don't think have been announced for this season. But great to know that the TBT is coming back. There will be a lot of great teams. Some have already begun forming. Others will form, I'm sure, now that it's official. The TBT will return. And it'll be interesting to see what IU alumni, lots of great college basketball alumni, lots of overseas pros have played. Some of the guys have used that as kind of a springboard to get back into or into the NBA from a professional standpoint as well. And speaking of pro sports, the NHL, they announced yesterday a return to play plan. 24 teams competing for the Stanley Cup will begin with a qualifying round robin games in two hub cities. I don't know that they've announced the cities for the Eastern and Western conferences yet, and the date yet has not been determined, but there is a plan, and it does seem likely that NHL hockey resumes soon. I think there's a NASCAR race tonight. That's been really interesting to follow and see how racing is trying to take advantage of even weeknights to, with no fans, to recapture maybe some of the interest that NASCAR has lost in recent years. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, Zaxby's is open. They've got those great chicken tenders, salads, and a wide assortment of items with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic will talk IU basketball and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He joins us each week as we talk IU basketball and more. And, of course, Dustin covers IU, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic. Dustin, it's we're entering, I think, that slower stretch right now, at least for college basketball in the offseason. The transfer portal is slowing down just a bit. There are no more, and there really have not been many coaching changes this offseason in general. I'm not sure if that's due to the pandemic and just kind of a different time right now or what. But Indiana is still kind of reeling with the loss of Justin Smith and exactly how that will affect the roster and the team for this upcoming season, because a week ago at this time, we were talking about the addition of Christian Lander as a freshman for next season, and we really thought that Smith would be back. He would not go to the NBA, and we had a pretty clear vision of what this roster, maybe what starting lineups could look like. But now, just a week later, Smith is headed elsewhere to finish his college basketball career. Indiana has at least one opening on the roster for next season that could be filled if there was some late movement or a late transfer, and a little bit more unknown, but still excitement about this IU roster and team for next season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously you have to look at Justin Smith as a loss. I mean, certainly a guy that averages 10-5 and played the most minutes on last year's team, a guy that can defend multiple positions, is a significant piece to take out of your lineup. But, you know, in the same way, I think you can also look at it and consider what it allows you to do, what kind of flexibility you have with the roster when you look at some of the guys coming in. You know, it creates some opportunity and it allows them to do some different things really that they haven't been able to do as far as like how they shake things up. You would have to certainly think that the guys that they're going to be able to put on the floor are going to be able to stretch the floor a little bit more. I mean, Justin Smith was about a 20%, I think 25% for his career three-point shooter. I think he was 20 for 80 or something along those lines. And, you know, that's not necessarily what you want from the three at this state in college basketball or basketball in general when you're trying to spread the floor. Obviously, he was able to do a lot of other things in transition in the post and be effective that way. But in terms of how you're seeing teams play in the half court, I mean, he was forcing you to change a little bit. You know, basically this you know, gives Indiana an opportunity to open things up if the right guys step up. Certainly, you have to look at Jerome Hunter. We've talked about a lot. You saw him make some strides at the end of last season, start to get his sea legs a little bit after missing his whole freshman year and taking a lot of kind of really get his, you know, conditioning set. And maybe he's a guy that can step up and be more one of those sort of true threes. Maybe you could play some more three guard lineups that would allow you to get maybe Christian Lander and Rob Finnessy on the floor at the same time. The three freshman wings that come in, Jordan Geronimo, Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, have a little bit of a clearer path to some level of playing time than they might have if Smith was around. So it's costly and it shakes things up a little bit, but ultimately it does, you know, allow some guys maybe some more natural fits, allows maybe for better flowing offense, allows some opportunities for some freshmen they really like to get an opportunity to make an impact right away.
Dustin, I know that none of us know this or will ever know, but you have to wonder, given the transfer, it happened Friday during this radio program. You have to wonder, because it happened in late May, which is pretty late. I mean, there are some transfer portal action right now and some transfers obviously still going on, but it's just not near as active or the bulk of it. It's not like it was obviously a few months ago. It's slowed down since then. But you have to wonder how much of this transfer was, because of the point that it happened, was conversations, Zoom calls perhaps with players, postseason player meetings about roles for next season, minutes for next season, what positions you could find yourself in for next season, scoring responsibilities, or maybe not as much scoring responsibilities for next season. You have to wonder how much of that sort of thing factored into Justin's decision to announce that he's going to leave.
Sure. I mean, and I think also you consider the fact that he did enter the NBA, enter the draft. I mean, basically, he was entered. And that, I think, makes an impact, too. That tells you a little bit about just where his head was at, you know, thinking about what does he have to do to be a pro. And I think he started asking himself the question. I think he has been asking himself the question. I mean, I know being in the NBA, being a professional was something that he had considered, that he was thinking about, that mattered to him as far as his development. That he thought himself as a guy who, you know, because some of his physical gifts is the person that could belong there and that needed to be able to show the tools that you would need for his position. And I think, you know, I think part of it might have been that, hey, he didn't feel like he was necessarily going to be able to have the opportunity to do that. I think he thinks he needs to be able to shoot it from outside a little bit more. And that's not something that Indiana has ever really jumped on board with, because he hasn't been effective when he's tried. I mean, they've tried to limit him to that. He used to be, I think, a pretty good shooter in high school. He doesn't have terrible form. Every once in a while, he's made a couple. I mean, you obviously saw he hit some big ones against Michigan State a couple years ago when they had that upset in Bloomington. But, you know, he's never been consistent with it, and he's got to be consistent with it. So it's a situation of, all right, you're going to keep being asked to post up. You're going to keep being asked to operate inside. You weren't really going to get a chance to show it. So, you know, were you going to get a chance to make a real push to go to the NBA? So that makes you wonder, I mean, did he get any kind of feedback? Did anybody talk to him about that? Does that have anything to do with it? Does he look at it and saying, okay, well, if I'm going to be a pro, I've got to go somewhere where I can actually shoot it, where they'll trust me to do that, where I can work on that, where they encourage that. And he wasn't going to be encouraged to do that at Indiana. So he was probably going to be able to play. He was going to get minutes. He was going to be expected to defend opponent's best players in a lot of cases, but he wasn't necessarily going to be asked to shoot from outside. So, again, if that's something he felt like he had to do to be a pro, you know, that probably factors in. And I do think the fact that people have had time to sort of sit around, talk to other people, go home, I think is having an impact on some late transfers, because I think people are, you know, having more conversations about the pros, and they're not, you know, they're not spending their last couple of months, you know, around the college campus, hanging out with the friends, all that kind of stuff. They're going home and having sort of these big conversations, finding out what everybody back home thinks of them. And sometimes that's a distorted view of who they are. But, you know, bottom line, I mean, they end up spending a lot of time thinking about their future, I think, in this case, more so than they would be if they were just hanging around a college campus with the rest of the team.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. I want to turn the table for a moment to recruiting. In the opening segment today, I kind of did a reset of where the 2021 recruiting is at right now for Indiana. Obviously, one commitment, Logan Duncombe from Cincinnati, committed back in early April. And I think without saying, we all know Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek is the top target in the state right now, really overall for Indiana, as a potential addition to that recruiting class. And of course, he would be, with Lander reclassifying, he would be the first Indiana player in the 2021 class for Indiana. With that said, Blake Wesley up at South Bend, maybe some momentum there with Indiana and the coaches right now with his recruiting. But after that, it looks like in the 2021 class, Indiana has really been involved with some key players, some top-level players on a national level from up east, from different parts of the country. Trey Patterson over the weekend picked a top 10 for whatever that's worth. Indiana is believed to be very solidly in his top 10 schools right now. So it seems to me that this 2021 class for Archie Miller could be an opportunity not only to protect his home turf if he can get Kaufman and potentially Wesley as well, but maybe to expand that footprint out in other Big Ten locations, as he's talked about a few times here during the pandemic.
No, sure, absolutely. I know Aminu Muhammad is a guy that he's been after as well. And there are some big names. I think that's sort of where the position he's in. You know, I think they're in, I don't know that they're definitely going to get a Kaufman, but I think they're in good shape there. I think, you know, even though he ends up being part of the 2020 class, I think, you know, getting Lander just in terms of looking at the people, the guys that were sort of part of this class initially, you know, was obviously just a huge get to be able to sort of plant the flag in Indiana, basically to take a guy that was sort of initially in that class. You know, that sort of maintains that they're still in good shape, you know, with the state, so that now they can sort of take the opportunity to look a little bit outside. I mean, Logan Duncombe is from outside the state, but he did play his AAU ball with Indiana Elite, so I mean, there's a connection there. You know, he's not totally out of nowhere. And, you know, he's, again, part of, like you said, the Big Ten footprint. So they got to get a chance to sort of, okay, you know, now that they've got this, you know, sort of feet set, you know, and have sort of really planted the flag in Indiana, they do have a chance to look outside in this class to kind of keep some momentum going, maybe take a shot at some higher level kids. You know, getting Lander is big for that, to be able to sort of keep them on the map and think it's, hey, look, we're still getting this level of player. You know, Trace Jackson Davis having a big freshman year is a thing that I think really helps, kind of keeps them, keeps people talking about Indiana, you know, outside of the state. So all of that, I think, puts him in some good shape, maybe to take some more, to go back out and take some more chances. I mean, I think he's sort of, after having a tough year in 18-19, I think had to sort of recalibrate a little bit. But I think, you know, again, having a winning season in 2019-20, being a team that would have been a tournament team had there been a tournament, really helps him. I think he's a lot of things are gaining him some momentum. So, you know, he is, again, maintaining his roots in the state, but does, I think, have an opportunity with this class to step outside and get some talent from elsewhere.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joining us. Big Ten question for you. Iowa continues to be one of the highest rated, if not the highest rated, Big Ten team in many of the off-season rankings for whatever they're worth that are out there. Obviously, Luka Garza is back, preseason National Player of the Year type guy. I think at least he's expected back for his senior year at Iowa. If he comes back, I know they return other starters as well. Is this Iowa team for real, maybe right there at the top of conference play?
I mean, it's got to be right there at the top just because of the offensive firepower they're going to have and the experience they're going to have. I mean, but Bohannon's getting another year, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I think then, you know, you still have Wisecamp. God, I think they still have a Toussaint kid. So, I mean, they've got a lot of pieces that you have to like. I mean, the issue with me, though, is I mean, the defense is still such an issue. I guess, especially after seeing what Purdue did to them twice, I have a hard time taking them extremely seriously because I don't think I've seen defense that bad. it was almost they were working hard to give Purdue shots. I mean, and really, Purdue was not a great offensive team, and they looked like Lakers or the Warriors against them. I mean, it was unbelievable just how easy they made it for Purdue to get wide open looks. And it's almost like they had to try to attack a team that poorly on a defensive end. So you always have to keep that in mind with Iowa is that even if you have all the pieces, it can still go south because of that. And, Fran McCaffrey's going to have to prove that, for a team to really be considered an elite program, an elite team, a top 20 team, a top 10 team, a top 15 team, it's got to play some defense. I mean, like, again, I think traditionally when you think of how do you end up ranking teams in the preseason, or if you're going to take a poll of the Big Ten or you take a poll of the top 25, obviously the general way you look at it is, okay, what do they have coming back? How many points did those guys score? How much experience is there? How many returning starters do they have? And you really make the calculation there, because you can't guess what the chemistry is going to be like until you see teams on the floor. So ultimately, this is just, it's a guessing exercise. It always is. And it plays itself out. Like, if there's not real, impact to who you put in your preseason top 25 or your, preseason Big Ten poll, it doesn't have real effect going forward. It's not like they're slotted there. But in terms of just how you're going to talk about them, people are going to talk about Iowa that way because, again, like you said, you got a national player in the year candidate who had a terrific season, and you have some really good shooters. Like, you have all the pieces offensively for that to be a really, really explosive team. But they just showed that bad defensively that, I mean, I can't trust them. I certainly, even if they have the best, returning talent, the most returning starters, the most returning points, I won't be able to bring myself to make them my preseason favorite just because of what I saw Purdue do to them. And not everybody's going to look at it that way. If everybody else saw them on better nights, for whatever team that they had to happen to be covering, when they came to town. But, I just saw Purdue a Purdue team that was pretty shaky absolutely blow their doors off because they couldn't defend. So I'm going to have a hard time putting them that high. That's definitely going to create a bias for me when I think about Iowa going into next season.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. Dustin, final question for you. It looks like we are getting some professional sports at least closer to making a return. The NHL seems to have a pretty formidable plan and be serious about it. They've got a couple details, most importantly, the date of when this would happen to still figure out. The NBA, I know there have been not announcements, but meetings and rumors, and there's another, I think, call with the Board of Governors and Adam Silver, the commissioner, later this week. When it's all said and done, based on what you've read, nobody knows for sure, but you got a feeling on what professional sport, obviously we've got racing already, but you got a feeling on basketball, is it the NBA, is it the NHL, is it Major League Baseball? Do you have a feeling for what could be the first sport we get back in live television format?
I mean, my guess is going to be either the NBA or NHL. I think it's kind of a dead heat between those two right now, obviously because they're pretty far along. And I think the NHL is closer just because they've released a plan. So that, I think, is a step in the right direction there that tells you, okay, that they're serious about it. They know what they want. I don't know if the NHLPA is signed up for it, but at the very least, they have a plan. And everybody else's plan has been shot down in some way, shape, or form. There's been some public grievance against it. I mean, I think the NBA is in a weird spot because I think you got to play 70 games to get to these sort of regional television thresholds. And if they can't maneuver that and they feel like they've got to play regular season games, and you already saw Damian Lillard come out and say, I'm not playing these. If you're telling me, like, I don't really have a chance to get back in the playoffs, that all of us were within a couple games, you're telling us we're not going to play enough games to make that worth it, but we're just doing that for you. we're just doing that so the clubs can get a certain revenue, and it's like, okay, we're going to, nominally at least put yourself in some level of risk, both for general injury and, for the the outside possibility of infection, just so you guys can get regional TV money. So I don't know how the players union is going to deal with that part of it. But I imagine, you know, I think they'll end up just jumping the playoffs. I think they'll end up doing the same thing that the NHL is doing. I don't know if they'll make a situation where you have a play-in round like the NHL, you know, the NHL is considering. Baseball seems to be pretty far off. I mean, that's, I don't know. You would think that there's a understanding on both sides of that, you know, hey, you've been through major work stoppages before, and it really, really hurt the game really badly. So it's imperative on both sides to kind of come together. But, you know, I mean, I understand where the players are coming from when you've seen these offers so far, in terms of how they would do revenue sharing. I mean, it again is really, you know, kind of a poke in the eye to the Players Association and something that, you know, generally, they would never consider. Now, obviously there is the case of revenue is going to be lowered, you know, because you're not going to, you know, there's a good chance you don't have fans in the stands. And you know, it at any point in the season, certainly not at the beginning, you wouldn't think that anyone would be ready to open up to that point, you know, by early July, that they'd be able to have fans in the stands. So, you know, there's going to be revenue taken away, but obviously the baseball players look like, okay, look, I signed the contract, you know, like you guys owe me this, you got to at least come close to it. And the numbers that they've thrown out aren't close, to, you know, paying these guys what, you know, even a prorated amount of what they sign contracts for. And I think obviously if you're the Players Association, you're concerned about, all right, you know, if we let you get away with this, what are you going to try next? And also we are putting ourselves in harm's way here, and we're doing it for less money. So it does seem like they're far away right now. I don't know that means they won't come together. I mean, you'd like to believe that they can see how important it is, to eventually come to a deal. And how much of a long-term impact, negative impact there could be on the game if they don't come up with something. I think if there's a discrepancy on money, that's going to be an issue for the game long-term. If the discrepancy ends up being that the players don't trust testing and they don't feel like it's safe, you know, that's a different issue, and they'll be able to make that argument in that case to fans and whatnot and saying, hey, we just don't feel safe doing this. But if it comes down to money, you're going to have a similar situation to what you had in 1994, I think, that people will view this poorly if that's really the case, if it can just be painted as money. So I don't know. They seem to be furthest away just in terms of negotiations right now, so I think the other two sports will come back faster.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Dustin Dopierak, always enjoy the chat. Thanks for being with us each week, and you know we'll do it again next Wednesday.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, and we'll head to a commercial break. Come back for a final segment today. We'll talk some local sports, a little more about Lee Kelly, our great friend who we lost Monday morning, with Josh Cook. He's sports editor of the News and Tribune, in our weekly segment with Josh, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. Stay with us for that. This is the Hoosier Report with Bat Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program that's presented by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me each week in this segment as we talk local sports. Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms, whatever your need may be, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. Josh, welcome into the show. I want to start on a somber note. Obviously, Lee Kelly, someone in the media landscape here at the Big X that you would see for years and years of your career of covering local sports here in the area for a couple different publications, no longer with us. We lost him Monday, and I know a very sad time for obviously students and friends and family, you can imagine, but so many in the media have reached out that had interactions with Lee over the years at New Albany High School, or as he broadcasted games with us across the area, to just say hello and that they're thinking of everybody. He had a very good rapport with media in the area as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just a super nice guy. Just a gentleman's gentleman, I would say. I didn't know him before I started here at the News and Tribune, but you know, he was just welcoming and just as nice as could be, just right up from the moment I met him. And, you know, he was just a great guy to be around, to have around. And you know, it's really a loss for the entire community. And, you know, just seeing the outpouring of support and just people, you know, posting on social media. And, you know, you did a nice tribute to him yesterday and Joe Glover too. And, you know, it's really a big loss for this area.
Yeah, we have lost some icon-type people in our high school sports and media with Charlie Jenkins earlier this year, of course, Lee Kelly earlier this week, and Ted Throckmorton a few years ago. And there are others. You guys had a very good story on Mr. Pop at Sellersburg, who was such a great part of the Silver Creek girls basketball program and really all of their athletics. Gene Coomer of Jeffersonville, and I know I'm missing some, but we've just been fortunate over the years. And this is something that I've made myself a point to talk about, to recognize some of these people that really have meant a lot to their specific schools and athletics and supported kids over the years, because it's sometimes those type of people, Josh, in communities that help make things happen for these teams and these kids and athletes that we cover that may not happen without supporters like those. And Lee Kelly was definitely one of those guys.
Sure. And you know, the being in the media, people, you know, it doesn't pay well. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't make a lot of money doing it. I mean, people just do it because they like to do it, or they really enjoy what they do. And, you know, that's another tribute to Lee, that, you know, and he was a teacher too. And obviously, you know, teachers are, you know, very underpaid in my estimation, but, you know, that was something he loved to do. And, you know, obviously he made an impact on hundreds, thousands of people in his lifetime.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Not a lot of local stuff right now with everything canceled, spring sports. It was kind of a tough Memorial Day weekend. Obviously, the news of Lee Kelly Monday morning is just terrible and shocking news. But all last week and into Saturday and, of course, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, we should have been very busy. You should have been out riding and running around to different sectional games for baseball throughout the week. We should have been broadcasting from a couple locations throughout the week, covering different teams in the area. And I guess for me, this thing kind of hit finality that, you know, there is no high school sports this spring. It's all canceled with the pandemic when we had no baseball sectional. We've had some great teams, great players. Teams have done well, put state tournament runs together, and feel like we had that same potential for this year. But, boy, it really hit home on sectional weekend, that holiday weekend with pretty good weather. We had no baseball to follow.
Yeah, it was really you're exactly right. It definitely hit home that day. But, you know, usually on Memorial Day and this time of year, heck, we'd be out covering baseball, softball, you know, track and field, golf, tennis, all that stuff. But unfortunately, you know, this year didn't happen. It's still, you know, I still feel for those kids, or especially the seniors who didn't get a chance for their senior season. But you know, hope we cross our fingers and hope we're going to go ahead and have some fall stuff. But I do know that you know, some baseball and softball teams are talking about playing some games once they get you know, as long as everything goes fine moving forward and they're allowed to start practicing or whatever, start having get-togethers the 1st of July. So I know some local baseball and softball teams are hoping to at least play a couple games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talking with Josh Cook, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We do have a local player that he's had a rough go of it, not really because of his own doing, but Josh Jefferson from New Albany. I mentioned him earlier this week. he is pretty close to a decision, it sounds like. You guys had a story on him earlier in the week. He transferred or entered the portal after it was announced pretty late into the season, the offseason, that Green Bay coach Link Darner would be fired, and Josh had went to junior college. He really did well there, excelled, and was able to track the Division I attention. He was at Illinois State for a season, got playing time, scored some points, was a part of that team, but just didn't like the situation and really wanted to find a place for that final year of eligibility to play and be an impact player. Thought he found it in Green Bay. He obviously had to sit out last season while he was there, so he put a whole year in of work and training and behind-the-scenes stuff with the team and really doesn't get the opportunity to capitalize on it. He's going to transfer. We think he'll announce his decision. Could come today, could come tomorrow, it sounds like. But he's another good player from the area when you think about guys at the D1 level and playing college basketball, making an impact at any level. He's one of those guys that has a number of schools after him and has been part of a great run here for Southern Indiana basketball.
Yeah, and I really feel bad for him, too, because, you know, initially out of Lakeland, he'd signed with Cal State Northridge, but then Reggie Theus was their coach, but then he got fired, so then he had to get out of that, and then he ended up at Illinois State, like you said, and now he's at Wisconsin Green Bay, and, you know, he didn't get to play last season. He has to sit out, and, you know, just surprisingly, Link Darner gets fired, and, you know, that not only affects Josh, but, you know, Jeffersonville's Jacob Jones, too. You know, he's already signed his letter of intent with Green Bay. So I asked him, and he said he's still firming his commitment. But, you know, that's just you got a new coaching staff coming in. You know, who knows what they're going to want. So, you know, I understand Josh transferring. And, you know, like I said, it's just tough. And I don't know how. How did that 2016 team lose a game, Matt? I mean, come on.
I know. Got, pretty good.
Josh Jefferson, Sean East, Romeo, and Rondell Moore. I mean, come on. How'd you guys lose a game?
And you look back sometime on the great teams. This isn't just that New Albany team. But you look back on some of the great teams and you realize how many players went on to play college basketball, even Isaac Hibbert at Hanover, and not just play, but have meaningful careers. And the same is going to be true of some of these Silver Creek teams and other good area teams that have recently come through. As we look back a few years down the line, there'll be some players who were standouts at times. Maybe they were the best player on their team locally, and they'll put together nice college careers. It may be at a small college level, and hey, small college basketball is great. It's very competitive, more competitive than what most people think. So fun to follow guys in the area like Josh. We wish him the best with his forthcoming decision and hope that he is able to finish out the year strong and kind of add to the reputation we've got coming out of this area. Josh, as always, it's great to have you with us. It sounds like we're going to get some pro sports back soon, later this summer. That's a good thing, but I know you and I and many other locals are crossing our fingers that July goes well for workouts and conditioning and maybe early football practices, and that we can have fall sports when school gets back going at some point later this year.
No, most definitely, most definitely. Fingers crossed, real tight.
Absolutely. Josh, as always, thanks for the chat, and we'll talk with you again next week as things begin to pick back up. We'll have the Netsby Awards that you guys will be doing virtually this year to really dive in and preview here over the next few weeks.
That's right, June 16th. All right, man. Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more at mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. That's going to wrap it up for this Wednesday edition of the program. I'll be back with you Thursday at 11 a.m. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join me and others as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories, and thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, Republic Bank, Allen Electrical, and upsjobs.com/Louisville.